This episode is brought to you by 17 Hats, your all-in-one business management platform to save you from time-sucking tasks. Put hours back in your day with easy-to-use features like online scheduling, invoices, contracts, questionnaires, and much more. Learn more at 17hats.com.
You are listening to the Photobomb Podcast with the world's greatest photographers, Boo Ray and Gary.
Welcome to the Photobomb Podcast. My name is Boo Ray Perry, and joining me as always is Gary Hughes.
Look, in the last couple of weeks, we've been off the air, so to speak, and something tremendous has happened.
Okay.
Something okay. Big. Something big? Life-changing.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Right. Okay. So what we're going to do is at the same time, we're going to say what that life-changing thing was. I want to see if you get it right. Ready?
Okay.
Here we go. One, two, three. We got an ice maker.
Okay. My thing truly is life changing. My personalized license plate arrived in the mail.
I saw that. Yeah, that's great. How does it feel? Do you feel any different driving around with it?
I'm a totally new man now. You know, when I pull into a parking lot, you know, people wave at me. There's a status now that I have attained because my license plate says Boo Ray that mere mortals cannot hope to aspire.
I suppose it's cheaper than a Ferrari.
It is just a little bit cheaper. And you got an ice maker?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Well, there's a little backstory here because we live in a house that was built in 1953. And it's a bungalow style house that's been expanded to 4 bedrooms. It had a galley kitchen. But at some point, the person who remodeled the house before we moved in took the dining room and pushed the kitchen out. Now, the kitchen kind of extends across the hall onto both sides of the house to make it bigger. But the fridge moved when the kitchen expanded, and there's no water line over there. So even though our fridge has an ice maker in it, it doesn't make ice because there's no water line over to the fridge. And we've never just repaired it. We've just been buying bags of ice for 10 years, so for some reason, Julie and I were talking the other day, and it's like, man, I wish the price of ice, not only has the price of ice gone up, but I don't know if you've noticed this, but across the board, no longer does ice come in 10-pound and 20-pound bags. They increase the price, and now it's 7 and 16-pound bags. So not only do you pay more, but you're actually getting less ice. And so we're just like, and the two closest places to my house to buy ice are I don't know how you're bad at ice, but they're bad at ice. Like the ice is always like melted together in a clump. And so, so you got to drive further to the grocery store to get good ice. Anyway, so we're just sitting here talking. I'm like, man, we really got
to
look at it.
I just want to say, by the way, there's something that used to exist in every kitchen that doesn't anymore is an ice pick.
Right. Yeah.
Like when I was growing up, we had an ice pick, wood-handled ice pick in my house, but there's no ice pick in my house now.
No. I mean, because freezers are probably colder and the technology is better and ice makers, et cetera. But so let me make this short. We're having a conversation and she's like, we really should get an ice maker or get a fridge or run a water. We just, buying this ice and all the plastic bags per year. We're going through 2 bags of ice a week. It's like, it's not good for the environment. We got to do something about this ice situation. And so I started looking, and maybe this is stupid, but I didn't realize this, but there is such a thing as an ice maker that sits on the countertop.
Yes, I think I know the one you're talking about because I was going to mention it.
I was
in a campground watching a guy set up across the way from me. He comes out in the morning. He's got a big camper. He comes out. He opens up this side thing. He pulls out a deal. He starts coffee. It got all the stuff is outside, coffee and everything going. And he's got this machine and he pours a gallon of water into it. And I don't know what it is. So later I strike up a conversation with him. I'm like, what was that machine you poured the water into? He said, it's an ice maker. He just sits here and makes ice all day.
Dude. I got to tell you, this thing's amazing. It's about the size of a toaster oven, and it starts making ice inside 5 minutes, and then it'll make 20 pounds of ice a day if you leave it running. It's just, and it's unbelievable. Dude, I had no idea that people lived like this.
This is amazing.
I'm like an ice billionaire. You need, instead of like,
and is it like really good ice, like little crunchy, like,
dude, small, it's the bullet ice with the hole in the middle.
Oh, it's, man, it's like, that's like one. a little bit like a Sonic ice.
Yeah, it's very crunchable, and it makes ice cubes in 2 different sizes, small and large. So now I'm just walking around like I own the place because I there's no limit on the amount of ice I can use. Just throw a couple extra cubes.
Ice for all my friends.
Ice. Who needs ice? You know what? But you know what, Boo Ray, you're getting for Christmas? A cup of ice.
A cup of ice. I'll take it. You know what? Good ice, too.
Two cups. You want to, okay? You
know? I am loved.
Yeah, absolutely. This is, I mean, and it's so stupid. What a first world stupid thing. But seriously, not only am I saving about like $10 a week on ice, you know, now, right. I feel so free. Yeah. I feel free like I haven't felt in a long time.
Well, because you got into the habit of doing what you were doing, and now you're like, oh my gosh, how much of my mental life was spent on remembering that I have to go get ice twice
a week? So much. Now, that's the thing, too, because like I'm leaving the studio. It's like 5:30. I'm like, I can't wait to get home and put my sweatpants on and sit in my chair. And then I get the text that you dread getting. Honey, can you pick up a bag of ice on your way home? You know, and that's like,
I can't believe you were just buying bags of ice.
I know.
But I'm guessing it's because you need so much ice that trays wasn't going to work for you.
No, the tray system is, you know, it's just inefficient. You know, you'd have to get really far. Just ice is just faster and easier. But this, dude, it's like I just took a step into the future.
Yeah, it's just always right there.
It's just there. And it came
with a scoop. Okay, so now I'm going to blow your mind. We had, when I was growing up, a little box on the counter with a little tray in the bottom. And a slot in the top that was an ice crusher.
Oh.
This was back when there was no ice in the door of the refrigerator, no ice to be had that way. You just had regular ice. Now, we had ice maker, but if you wanted crushed ice, you had to take it out and feed it into this and like turning clom. And I was, even as a kid, I was like, if my finger went in there, it would just chew me alive. And so, and you would feed the ice in there and it would crush it down into this little thing and you'd take it out and dump it. And now you had crushed ice, which was, such a treat.
And in only ice. 30 short minutes, you can make your own slushy. Sounds like a dream.
Yes.
Yeah.
Crushed ice. Woo.
So, yeah, that's the biggest thing that's happened to me in the last couple of weeks.
Nothing else. Nothing you can think of else that's happened that's been monumental or even slightly life-changing?
I guess I had another kid.
You did, in fact, have another child.
Gary. Yeah, we
you
did.
You did, in fact, have another child. There is now a boy
in
the household. Four children total. There's Charlie, Nikki, Ringo, Paul
and Bono.
And then you've added this fifth one.
Yeah. We have three daughters.
Six
one? Now.
Six, how many is it now? Four?
Four. Yeah, we got four kids now. So needless to say, it's been awesome. It is, I tell you what, if you haven't watched your wife give birth, if you haven't seen the process of watching the woman you love become a mother, watching yourself become totally irrelevant in the eyes of someone who used to adore you four times ever. Now, it is humbling to watch. It's been, we came home from the hospital 6 days ago, and Julia's like running errands, you know, going to Target and stuff, but like, and I
well,
know
baby number four.
I know, you know,
I'm surprised.
What are you saying?
Hiking the Appalachian Trail on the next day. There is no big deal.
What are you
I'm saying
to say?
She's had some practice. I'm saying, oh,
yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Once
yeah,
you've done it a few times, it's not quite, you know, the more you do it, the easier it becomes for you.
Yeah, but it never gets any easier to watch her do it. I mean, I was stressed. No. Let me tell you. It was just the amount of emotional distress it caused me to have to watch her go through that. I mean, man, oh my gosh, I got to tell you. No, I'm in all seriousness. We brought him home. We got four now. Baby's healthy, happy. He's gaining weight. He stinks and also smells good at the same time. It's a very weird combination. But happy, healthy, strong baby. And everything's going well. So we got lots of messages and comments and stuff and DMs from people. So thanks, you guys, for everybody who reached out to us. We even got a bouquet of flowers from the Florida Professional Photographers Association sent to the house. Yeah, that was really cool.
And we will be at the Florida Professional Photographers Convention Focus
this week,
this coming weekend. We're doing the podcast live.
Yes, if you want to see Photobomb live, and you can get to Gainesville, Florida. It's in Gainesville, Florida, at the Hotel Indigo.
Very and that's cool. Gonna be,
yeah, it's location, a pretty cool little spot. Yeah,
and yeah, because it's right next to like this whole giant entertainment area, like restaurants and
tons of stuff to walk to and eat into. And so we're gonna do. We've done this, I don't know, 5-6 years in a row. We're gonna be doing Photobomb live at Focus 2022 at the Indigo Hotel this coming Sunday, which I don't know what day of the week that is, but I've lost track of time because I'm on paternity leave. But anyway, check that out. Go to ruinfocus.com and you can get all the information you need there. Now, let's talk
about... I will
also
be speaking, by the way.
Oh, yeah. This, see, I because of baby stuff, I'm not going to be able to get away for the whole time, so I'm going to miss your program, but I really sincerely want to see it. I haven't
seen
this one.
I'm the keynote speaker. I am the keynote speaker, Gary. I don't know what that means. I don't think... That means I'm first?
Last?
First?
Last?
No, first.
Do you know what time of day you're speaking?
I'm speaking Friday night. I'm the only speaker. I open up the whole show. Friday night, I speak. I'm the person who speaks Friday night. And then Saturday, there's like two people. And Sunday, there's two people. And then there's the awards banquet. So the keynote speaker is considered the person who speaks Friday night, I guess.
Okay. Well, I mean, that means you're a big deal, I guess. You're a big deal. You're a big deal. You're kind of a big deal.
But like at you know, most conventions, the very first speaker is called the keynote. But I don't think so. I think the keynote speaker is supposed to be like the most important speaker. So I don't think that's what they should call it. It should just be called the first guy. The Friday night speaker.
Yeah.
What it is.
The sacrificial lamb is what it is.
So anyway, so it's going to be cool for me because I've been a member of FPP now for, I guess, 12 years or so. And I've never actually spoken at their convention.
You haven't you?
No, I've never spoken at Focus. No.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy?
That is weird.
I've spoken everywhere. I've spoken at every guild in the state at least three times. I received the National Award for Service to Photography from FPP at their convention 1 year, and yet I've never actually been asked to speak there.
Wow.
And I think the reason is because I spoke at every other guild, so it was like, we can't ask Boo Ray to speak because everyone's already seen his program that he's giving
this year. you were laying it down pretty hot and heavy.
So why ask him to speak? And but then this year, no one has, I haven't been doing it this year, so they asked me to come and actually do my program at Focus. I'm very happy to be doing it.
So get all the info, areyouinfocus.com. Go see Boo Ray on Friday night, hang out. The hotel rate's very reasonable. And come see Photobomb Live on Saturday, and that would be cool. Areyouinfocus.com. Let's talk about paternity leave. I'm on paternity leave currently for another week. I've taken about 3 weeks off. Took like the few days leading up to the birth, about almost a week, and then 2 weeks after. And I find it very interesting that there are certain people out there in sort of this manosphere, hyper-masculine, Joe Rogan universe kind of BS, they kind of like turn their nose up at paternity leave. You know, like it's almost unmanly to take it. Jobs in the United States don't very often give paternity leave. It's very common for that not to be the case. And so like it's, if you give the woman who has given birth to the baby the time off to sort of recover, whatever that may be, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. I'm not sure how much. It depends on the job. And then the dad doesn't get any time off. You know, I'd almost prefer a job where they didn't give me paternity leave.
Can I come back to work?
Because can you imagine your employer just sitting there being like, SOB is just sitting there on his porch, sipping Mai Tais, watching his baby run around, blah, blah, like angry that you're not at work when every dad who works a regular job, who's been at home for a week on paternity leave, is climbing the walls to go back to their job. The paternity leave is almost like, please, boss, don't make me take my paternity leave. Please.
Well, I also think it doesn't do much good to give a woman paternity leave if you don't also give the man paternity leave so that he can do her stuff.
Yes.
So that she can actually relax and she can actually recover. And all I mean is that giving her time off doesn't matter if she's home taking care of the new baby and the other three kids.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing is I have not stopped moving since I checked out of work like a week and a half ago. I clean the house, laundry. I'm doing the majority of the cooking. I'm keeping the other three busy because she needs time to rest. Her body's still recovering because, you know, she basically like tore herself apart from the inside to give birth to this child. And so like, I am like just getting a taste of what it's like to do like 75% of her job, not including the fact that she also homeschools the children on top of all the stuff that I'm currently doing. And because it's summer break right now, we're not doing any school with the kids. So like I'm doing not quite 100% of what she normally does. And I'm only taking care of three of the four children. And so like, it's intense, man. Paternity leave is not a freaking vacation.
No,
this is not a vacation at all. I just don't understand the negativity towards, I see why it's so completely necessary. And then I see why, I don't see why there's so much sort of like, you know, hyper-masculine BS that surrounds it, like it's not manly to take care of your family in this case. But this is like this is intense, and it's a lot, especially with the other three kids. There's a lot happening, but all is well. The big thing is adjusting to the new dynamic, and like now our two-year-old Charlie isn't the baby anymore, and so she's having to like adjust now. She's sort of in the middle, and you know, so you know, it's all cool. All I know is I'm getting a lot of late night TV time while I hold my son so my wife could sleep. That's pretty much it. So I started.
Well, see, when mine was born, the first one was born, my problem was that Bobby did not trust me with the baby in any way, shape, or form.
Because this is the first one. That's pretty typical. First one. I feel
she did
like,
not trust me at all. So I'd be like, you know, and I was a late night person anyway. So I was like, baby, go to sleep. I'm going to stay up and I'm going to take care of the baby. I'm going to be up all night. I'll just stay up all night. It's no problem. I'll stay up and take care of the baby. Okay. She would go to bed. Within an hour and a half, she would get up and come in. What's going on? Where's the baby? Well, I'm like, the baby's right here. The baby's asleep. Everything's fine. You know, and she couldn't relax.
But that's the first baby, right? And then,
yeah,
so
the
like,
second baby's like, whatever.
Let me tell you about three and four. She just hands you the baby and the baby. she hucks the baby in a sort of like
go
over
long.
The head, like a hook shot. And yeah. I catch the baby in a laundry basket. Yeah,
like a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar skyhook. Here you go.
It's a straight up skyhook. Take
this
baby.
Take this thing away from me.
Yeah. So straight up skyhook into a laundry basket. And then she just doesn't say a word. She just wanders off into the bedroom and passes out. But yeah, no, it's cool though. I feel weird. It's like new dad stuff. It's like when the babies are brand new, dad's always a kind of a backup quarterback. And so I'm just trying, because she's nursing and we don't bottle feed. We save up that for like when we want to go out or when I have somebody watch the kids and stuff. So we're really still in the stockpiling phase of breast milk right now. We don't use formula, nothing against it. She just doesn't want to do it. And I just trying to be a good support person, but it still like feels like I'm holding the kid and I look and I'm like, well, like, I guess you're mine. Like I don't feel immediately connected to them. I don't think like moms do.
I didn't feel it at all. As you a know? Matter of fact, I didn't start feeling it till like about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, at the high school graduation.
Yeah, I was like, that's my baby. Yeah. So it takes a while to get used for guys. Guys aren't there like women are.
I think maybe some are. I don't know, but I don't feel that. Like, you know, it was funny. We had some friends over the other day, and they came to kiss the ring and see the baby, and the women and she. And, you know, this is a mother of three who's friends with us, and she's like, I don't want to hold the baby for that long. She's like, I'll get the baby fever. And I don't want to be around the newborn baby. She's like, it just makes me want to have another baby. And then the dad, he looks over, he goes, oh yeah, me too. And I go, shut up. I was like, just like, shut your face. I was like, you want a baby, like you like a new cell phone or something, or like a pet. Like our association with like wanting to have kids, it isn't this inner, my whole body is thirsting to do that, which what it was created and has evolved to do, which is make a baby and push it out of me. I said, you don't know what baby fever is until it's like having a baby, getting pregnant, making a baby is like, it feels like you're going to die if you don't do it. I was like, that's what a woman feels like. That's baby fever, because their entire biological purpose is aching inside of them, and a man's like, yeah, it'd be cool to have another kid. We could start a kickball team or whatever.
We do have something similar that women never experience though.
What's that?
Blue balls.
Oh yes.
That's something women never experience that, and they don't understand.
How do they
don't
not
understand
know?
When our whole body is aching
for just
something
aching.
That we simply must fulfill.
Just aching for our biological
must
purpose.
Must be done. Must be done, sweetie. Gotta happen.
Honey, it's just not the same, though, if I do it myself.
I'm just saying. And much like with a baby, if I hold it for a few minutes, it just makes it worse.
Yeah, yeah. It's just women don't understand the pain that we go through. Yes, they don't understand.
The aching.
The longing.
We have evolved, you know, to become these.
Our biological predisposition, this imperative to Bure, we have to propagate the species. We have to do that. And it's all... And I'm going to extend my hand. You need to help.
Yes, that's right. This is part of the life cycle, the circle of life, honey.
I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. Come with me if you want to live.
Exactly. I found something in my car that was annoying to me this week. You know, I love design. I love good design.
Oh, yeah, this is the new car that you love.
Right? The air conditioner in my car, and this is the sort of thing that would bug you. The air conditioner, the settings go up to 8.
Uh-huh.
8.
8.
Start at 1, go to 8. The top setting is 8. Not 10, Gary. Not this one goes to 11, but 8.
Like, okay, so let's break this down biologically, right? Because, you know, I read a lot of science fiction. So, you know, you could understand if we were some kind of alien race that had, like, base 4 pairs of everything, like 4 eyes, sure. 4 whatever, like, and it'd be like, so everything would be 8. But we're a base 10 species, yes. Or at best base 2.
Yes, things that's should, why be, everything it should be is, 5 or it should be 10.
Yes, that's our bodies go that way, you right. know, like, everything's 2s and 10s. Yeah, it's 2 is their 10s.
Yeah,
you know, like, so,
but 8, because I'm turning it up, I'm like, turning it up, and it goes to 8, and I'm looking, I'm like, is there another thing to make it go higher? No.
8 is right out.
Yeah, it's a digital number. 10 is right out. The number of the counting shall be 8. 8 is the number of the counting, and the number of the counting shall be 8.
Not
thou
7?
Shalt count us to 8, thou shalt not then proceed to 9, nor shalt thou go to 10.
Yeah, anyway, 10 is so, right out. Yeah.
8, why would you go to 8?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. You know, I don't get it.
Also, the definition of true friendship occurred this week. Bobby and I were driving back. Went out to a little ice cream in the evening. Sometimes in the summer, we find after dinner, let's go get some ice cream. So we go to Dairy Queen and we get some ice cream. And Bobby says, I have to go to the bathroom. She comes out of the bathroom. She says, we have to go right now. I'm like, is anything okay? She goes, yeah, but we have to go right now. I'm like, okay. So we go, we get in the car, we're driving home, and she's sitting there and she's all uncomfortable. I'm like, is everything all right? She's like, I don't know. She's like, something's going on. Like, and as I'm talking to her, I'm like, okay. She's like, I just feel like I'm like, please don't take a dump in my new car. Please.
There's only one or two ways this is going.
Please don't take a dump in my new car. And as I'm saying this, she's on her phone, on speakerphone, and she's calling her friend Alice, whose neighborhood we're driving through. And she's calling through, and Alice picks up and goes, hello? And she goes, Bobby. She goes, Alice, it's Boo-Ray. And she goes, I'm sorry. She goes, Alice, it's Bobby. I need to use your bathroom. And just from the tone of her voice, Alice is like, come on, I'll have the door open for you. it was like I pull up, I don't even get the car turned, I pull off, boom, she's up, out, through the door, upstairs. I come walking in a few minutes later. How's it going, Alice? She's like, hey, she's cooking.
No, Alice is standing in the driveway with like cones, her in, flagging her in like an airplane landing.
Like a 747 thing, like, you know, like the guy on the aircraft carrier with the paddles.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, that's friendship. She didn't really even have to hardly get it out of her mouth. And Alice was just like, come on, I'll open the door. It'll be ready. You can just run right in, ready to go.
She's sitting outside with a wheelchair, you know, like ready to roll.
What was great was her kids were there and her kid's boyfriend was there, and they're all like on the couch on their phones. And I come in and one of them's like, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, we just stopped off because Bobby has to take a dump. And they did not even flinch.
Cool,
they
bro.
They were just like, oh, right back to the phone. So I think, like, sure, that happens all the time here. People just stop off at the house to use the bathroom. It's perfectly normal.
The moral of the story is this. Don't eat at Dairy Queen.
No. Oh, man.
Yeah,
The Heath Bar Blizzard is a thing of glory, though.
Yeah, but that whatever Bobby had was the opposite of a thing of glory.
Although I did get, what was I got the other day with, because my daughter got it, I went, yeah, that looks good. The Oreo mud pie. And I'm like, oh, this looks good. Oreo mud pie. And I take a big bite and I'm like, oh, what is this thing in it? I pull it out. I'm like, what the hell is that? She goes, that's a gummy worm. I go, there's gummy worms in this? She goes, yeah, it's a mud pie.
It's mud, yeah, with worms.
Yeah, but I did not know this. I didn't realize that anything you buy that's called mud pie is going to have gummy worms in it?
No, I don't think necessarily, but I think you could expect it that it might.
Well, I was not overwhelmed with shock. You know, I was like, yeah, okay, sure, worm. I get that.
When you grow up in Florida, you have to learn that there isn't an alligator in every lake and pond, but you should think like you should right, act like one. There is.
And if it's called mud pie, there could, in fact, was it called mud pie? It might be called dirt pie.
Yeah. Well, we have that for Halloween. Julie's mom comes over. She makes a dessert that's like a cold, like a fridge baked, no baked dessert, and it's called dirt, and it's just got a bunch of Oreos, cookies, and gummy worms on it. So that was why it seemed perfectly normal to me. We have it all the time. Like, and by all the time, I mean once a year on Halloween.
Yeah. I don't like gummy worms. I don't like anything gummy.
No.
Well, with the exception being the pot gummies that we had in Las Vegas at that time. Those were good. But other than that, no, nothing.
Well, the crazy thing about now being basically a single dad for a week, because all I'm doing is playing goalie, just keeping the kids away from my wife and the baby so she can rest, is that, dessert has become a much bigger deal. I'm always the one that's like, we have to give them less sugar, sweets are a treat. You don't get to do this every day. But like, you run out of ideas so fast and you just want to keep them happy. So you're just like, okay, guys, ice cream or whatever. So we're out running errands and with the girls. And I go, I need to stop at the grocery store. So of course we go to Publix. And I was like, I need oat milk and a couple other things. And we get there and the girls go straight for the aisle where the ice cream is. And then they're like, let's have an ice cream party. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. And then all three girls are like, ice cream party, ice cream party. I'm like, okay, crap. It's not, I don't want to die on this hill. We're having an ice cream party. So we spent 20 minutes picking out ice cream. And then we leave, we check out. I get in the car, I drive home, I go, I forgot all the other stuff I was supposed to buy in the grocery store. And I just came home with like four different kinds of ice cream and nothing else.
I got no problem with that.
Like the girls keep this keeps happening. This keeps happening to me is one of the girls will become dissatisfied with my level of service. And they'll go, I miss mom.
Oh, mom. You shut the hell up.
And so here I am. Here I am in the grocery store looking at my 2-year-old going, I'm just not as good at this as she is. Okay. You're just going to have to be satisfied with a substandard level of service for the time being. Okay. All right. I'm just a guy trying his best.
I can't go into Publix right now because Tostino's pizza rolls are buy one, get one.
Oh, yeah. That's hard to resist.
We're talking about like a $15 bag of Tostino's pizza rolls and it's buy one, get one. So, you might as well just buy four and then you save $30 and it's Tostino pizza rolls every night. And then you go to the convention to give a speech and you're 20 pounds overweight.
Yeah. That's a huge mistake.
Every night I'm like, oh, Tostino pizza rolls with some ranch dressing. The Tostino pizza rolls, truly, though, a marvel of measurement of time and trying to figure out exactly when you can put that thing. Because if you put that thing in your mouth and bite down on it just 5 seconds earlier than you should, the hot lava that is going to come out of that pizza roll and basically just scorch your mouth forever is,
well, that's what I was saying. It's like, what you could do, Bure, is, although they are buy one, get one for the big bag, which is great, like in these uncertain times, getting those kinds of buy one, get one deals is good. But I feel like that if you really wanted to end up in the hospital, you could do it for free. If you want to go to the burn unit,
a pizza roll.
Go see your ear, nose, and throat doctor. You could absolutely manage that without having to pay anything at all. It's a free of charge.
Here's something I learned, a little behind the scenes, something you might find interesting. I feel like I might have mentioned this. If I did, stop me. Like when you go to the store and it's like buy one, get one pizza rolls, buy one, get one, or discounts or whatever.
The BOGOs.
Yeah. You know that the store is not eating that price?
They get paid full price for it, don't they?
The manufacturer eats that price. And the manufacturer does not initiate the sale. In other words, I have a friend of mine who works at a company in Louisiana that makes cookie dough. They make Nestle cookie dough. They make Mrs. Fields cookie dough.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned that before.
He does their accounting. He said, "Oh yeah." He said, "We just had a truck the other day. It was $10,000 worth of cookie dough to a grocery store. They sent us a check for $535." I'm like, what? He goes, well, yeah, because they put it on special and then there was some that was damaged and then there was blah, 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 blah. And once they write all that stuff out, it was $535 of what we got for that thing of cookie dough. I go, what do you mean they put it on special? He goes, we have to absorb that. That's the deal. When grocery stores say we're going to carry your product, part of that contract says that they have the right to sell that at a discount or on sale like so many times a year, and you have to absorb that cost, not them.
Yeah, I always just assume that there's something like that the product is like either is like discontinued or it's going to go bad soon or it's closer to its expiration date. They just sell it whenever.
That's why Publix does it all the time. Our store here in Florida is called Publix, and when you go to Publix, there's always tons of stuff that's buy one, get one. Every week it changes, and I thought, wow, do they coordinate with? No, they just pick something in the store and go, we're going to make that buy one, get one. And then they just don't pay for it because they just write it off on the invoice. And go, sorry, we're not paying for that because we gave it away. And you just have to suck it up, dude. Because if you don't, we're not going to carry your pizza rolls in our stores.
No, that would be a shame for you.
I love how things work, and I didn't realize that that's how it worked. That's the power that they have. You're, if you want us to put it in our store, we're going to give it, we basically will give it away whenever we want or twice a year. And that's just the price you pay for us putting it in our store.
Well, I tell you what we do have now is we have a second refrigerator outside on the porch.
The second refrigerator.
On the back porch.
I feel like you have to.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So the next time that oat milk goes on sale, because oat milk, by the way, is expensive. Milk is expensive. Everything's expensive. I bought, it was 3 for $10. So I'm like, shoot. Yeah. And I got 3 and it was gone so fast. It's like next time I'm buying 9. Like mm-hmm. I just going to stock up the fridge because.
I would be that guy. If it wasn't the fact that our garage is enclosed, air conditioned and full of stock for Bobby's business.
Yes. It's not so usable for anything else.
It's not usable. If it wasn't for that, I would have like, I'd be the guy who goes to Sam's Club and buys a year's worth of toilet paper and a year's worth of this and a year's worth of that. Just stocks it.
You know, yeah, Doomsday. I saw this great bit by Bill Burr talking about people who stock up for the apocalypse. And he's like, if you're stocking up for the apocalypse and you're not learning how to fight, you're just collecting supplies for the bigger guy who lives on your street.
That's about right. All right. Hey, it's about that time. It is time for photography news.
Photography news.
If you're like most photographers, you didn't go into business for the paperwork. Does the chaos of invoices, emails, and to-dos make you crazy? Well, that's where 17 Hats comes in. Their all-in-one mobile-friendly platform organizes your business. 17 Hats handles the time-sucking tasks like payment reminders, capturing leads, scheduling your images. With 17 Hats, important emails go out automatically, and quotes, contracts, and invoices, click, click, paid. Small wonder that thousands of photographers swear by 17 Hats. You'll free up so much time from day-to-day stealing to-dos, it's like you've cloned yourself. You'll be able to focus on what you do best, photography. Meanwhile, 17 Hats does exactly what you need done to manage your business, just as if you were doing it. So why not clone yourself with 17 Hats? Visit 17hats.com to learn more. And be sure and use the code PHOTOBOMB to get 50% off your first year. All right, so the lead story I want to talk about, and we're going to have to post this in the Bombardier's Lounge.
Man, there's a lot of news, and we're not going to get to it all. There's just, because it's been 2 weeks, there's just so much.
Right, but we're going to post this in the lounge, and if you're not in the Bombardier's Lounge, go to facebook.com/groups/Bombardier's Lounge and join the conversation there. And that is that Kate Middleton, the princess, the Duchess of Cornwall, has been commissioned to shoot the cover of a magazine in Great Britain. It's called Country Life Magazine. Mm-hmm. And she was commissioned to shoot the cover. And the cover that she was shooting was of, what's her face?
Camilla.
There? Camilla, right. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice picture, and we've got the picture here. And I thought, since I'm going to be judging a competition in a couple of days, and then, by the way, did you enter anything into the focus?
Yes. First of all, I have to correct you. Kate Middleton is the Duchess of Cambridge. And Camilla is the Duchess of Cornwall.
Duchess of Cornwall.
Thank you. These are my country
this
women.
Is your country,
yeah.
Your country people.
These are my compatriots. Yeah.
Anyway, did you enter anything? Because I'm judging a local competition, I think, on Thursday, and then on Friday, my stuff will be judged. I entered into FPP. Did you enter anything?
I did enter into the annual Florida Professional Photographers Competition. I did indeed. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I did too. I'm floating a couple of pictures in there to testing them for actually putting them into IPC. So yeah. We'll see how they do there. So I thought what we might do is we might critique this image.
Oh, man.
Also, it's just a crappy thing to do to her that we're going to critique this image.
Well, background story before we do this is that the Duchess of Cambridge, Kate Middleton, future Queen of England, presumptively, right. Is she's actually a pretty avid photographer. She's not a professional by any means, but she has been known to carry the camera around for years, taking pictures of her kids and stuff. So, like, to me, her start in photography is the same story of 1,000 other incredible photographers I know who's like, I got a camera to take pictures of my kids or whatever. And I'm not sure if her interest in photography preceded having children or whatever, but she's not like, she didn't like do this with her phone. She's not a not experienced photographer. She's a pretty handy photographer and takes some pretty solid mm-hmm. shots. And her photography and her love of photography has been in the news several times over the last decade or so, or however long she's been with the royals or whatever. So she's not a bad photographer by any means, you know. But she's certainly a little bit too busy to go ahead and start her own photography studio. But
right, she's shooting with a Canon 5D Mark IV. With a 50mm fixed lens at 1.2.
Which is fascinating why she doesn't have a nicer camera.
Yeah, I'm like, really? Future Queen of England can't upgrade to mirrorless?
I mean, the 5D Mark IV is a fine camera. I used it for years.
It's
a brilliant camera, but like,
it is,
that's
but,
like
you
three
know,
generations old now.
You're a mom walking around, grab yourself the Fuji X-T32 which is small enough to fit in that little clutch handbag that they make you carry all the time. And, you know, and you'd have something smaller and, you know, or better yet, if you're going to shoot with that fixed lens, just get yourself a Fuji X100.
I was thinking this. Why is she using a 5D4? That camera's like 7 years old, 8 years old. Like,
and it's huge. And it's also huge.
You're the future queen of England.
If you're using a 50mm prime, get something small.
So anyway, it'd be funny if she started like a GoFundMe for a new camera.
Yeah.
Because like it's not part of the royal allowance or whatever.
So, but I did find this interesting. They show her settings and she was at 1/800th of a second, f2.8. And ISO 320.
Uh-huh.
So immediately I was like, okay, well, I mean, it's a 5D Mark IV, so it's going to be okay at 320, no problem. But just the old school in me is like, you know, get that ISO as low as you can. My first thought was, why are you at ISO 320 and shutter speed 1/800 when you could have been at ISO 100 and shutter speed, what, 400, 3? Your shutter speed still would have been plenty fast. You could have been at 100 ISO.
Now there's information missing here.
What's that?
It's very possible she was in aperture priority and the camera picked the other settings.
Okay, that's true. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true.
I doubt this was done.
But if that's the case, why? Because I feel like aperture priority on most cameras nowadays, the way it works, the structure works is you're like, I set the aperture and then the camera sets the ISO as low as it can go. And then it sets the shutter speed where it has to be. And if the shutter speed is too low, it raises the ISO.
On a Canon, the ISO, the camera doesn't choose the ISO automatically unless you set it to auto ISO. As well as in aperture priority mode. So by default, I believe it lists as the way it is on my R5 and all the other ones I've owned, is that if she had that camera set at ISO 320, you know, just when she turned it on, cranked it down to 2.8, right. It was like maybe from the last time she used it, she's just letting the camera choose the shutter speed. And because it's probably from a propensity, like a lot of photographers, to shoot wide open. So my guess is that she just set the camera in aperture priority to 2.8 and just was getting a good exposure, so didn't bother changing it. So there's no reason
I get that. But then it begs the question, what was she doing with the camera before where she wasn't in aperture priority and she was actually setting her ISO to 320? Because the person who tends to shoot in the priority modes tends to stay there.
My guess is that she was inside taking pictures of maybe her kids or the dogs or whatever and was still in aperture priority, but crank the ISO up because the shutter speed got too low to get a sharp picture. And then just
because in aperture priority, you still have to change the ISO?
No, you can put the ISO on auto, or you can make it so that you adjust the ISO manually. In aperture priority and in program mode, the ISO doesn't move automatically. You have to set the ISO to be in auto also.
But if she was inside in aperture priority, why would she be setting the ISO manually? Why would she just have that in auto as well?
My guess is she's I don't know why we're talking about this. She's in
because I see what you're saying.
Okay, so
but I'm saying it doesn't make sense. If she's shooting with auto ISO, she should be shooting with auto ISO all the time.
So she's got this 51.2. Let's say that she likes to shoot at 2.8. It's a reasonable, you know, it's a reasonable, and so that's her preferred aperture for most walking around. A lot of stuff will be in focus at 50mm on a full frame. 2.8 is great for soft background with still most of your subject will be sharp.
I got it, by the way. I figured it out.
All right.
What happened.
Okay.
Here's what happened. She's inside, right? She's in aperture priority. And she's taking pictures of, I don't know, her kids or some other kids. She's taking pictures of the dogs. They're moving. She's in aperture priority, and the Canon is setting the ISO to 100, and then it's setting the shutter speed to like 50th.
It's literally what 150. I just said, Boo Ray.
Is that what you were saying?
I literally just said that.
But you didn't say anything about the movement.
I said she was inside taking pictures of the kids, and it was and the camera was selecting a low shutter speed. It was coming out soft, so she cranked up the ISO.
Oh, see, but here's what happened there was I wasn't listening to you.
Oh, yeah, that happens. Yeah. That's literally what I said. I literally said that.
You're right.
It is absolutely what I already said. Why do you even? You know what? I got a better idea. Why don't you just do this podcast by yourself?
I pretty much could.
Yeah, you could.
I could just do both sides.
Yeah. Who is that guy? Phil something that was on AM radio back in the 90s, and he used to do the voices of all of the people. He would be himself, his guest, and the caller. And you really, unless you knew the joke, you really couldn't tell. He was really good. Phil something. I forget what his name was.
What's his face got a star? Jonathan Winters did that. He was a late night, overnight disc jockey, and he would get bored. And so he would interview people who had come into the studio who weren't real. They were just him.
Yeah. It's a talent. It sure is to be able to switch. But anyway, so you could do that. And then I could just go back to cleaning the house and doing laundry if you
changing
want.
Changing diapers.
But yes, that's what I said. So that would be my guess. So you're going to critique the settings. That's what I think happens. This is an aperture priority shooter, most likely. And which is fine. Like who do, like.
So what do we think about the picture? I mean, I don't know if this is compression because of online or whatever, but are you looking at the distortion, the bokeh in the flowers in the back right? There's definitely some blown highlights in the flowers.
Yeah, I mean, it just looks like a, you know, perfectly normal type of lifestyle shot that somebody would take nowadays.
Right. I think 2.8 was a bad choice because her right hand is blurry and her left hand is not.
It's not what I would do in terms of competition.
And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We're critiquing. This is the cover of a magazine.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fine. Like, it's not.
I think it's a nice. I agree that it is a nice shot, but I also think it's one of those. It's because she took it that's why they want to put it on the magazine. But I think if anyone else had taken this as a part of a professional assignment, do you think that there would have been some blowback?
Yeah, if I
gave, or do you think the standards have dropped so low?
No. If I gave this to Time Magazine, they would fire me, probably.
Okay. That's my question.
If I gave this to Nat Geo, they wouldn't call me again. You know.
Well, yeah, Nat Geo, of course.
But that being said, this is how I'm looking at it. All right. One, yes, it definitely has some technical issues. From the perspective of what I'm looking at on my monitor right now, the highlights appear to have been blown out. She exposed for the face, or the camera exposed for the face,
right.
And you lost highlights, you lost detail. It looks like some of the highlights on the arms have been brought down. The grass is a little out of gamut there in the back. But, if I was going to have a picture, if she was like my mother or my grandmother.
Oh, sure.
And I had a picture. Now, if I had a classic, like, Mark Seliger or Yusuf Karsh portrait or something like that to remember my mother by, or this, I would rather have this of someone I love because it shows her kind of like natural, kind of doing her thing. And this is like how I would remember her, not in some jumped up grandiose way. And again, I'm a jumped up grandiose dramatic portrait photography junkie. But like if this is my mom or my grandma, this is the picture I would love this. Now, cover a magazine?
Yes.
Probably not, you know, but whatever. Right. Like, would she have gotten this assignment had she not been the Duchess of Cambridge?
No. That's my question. I'm not so sure because we're seeing work like this now more and more and have been for years being put onto the cover of a magazine. I saw pictures of an interview with Robert Downey Jr. one time where it was just like black and white blurry pictures of him, like, you know, out and about or whatever that they put in because they thought, I don't know, it helped with the theme of the story or something.
I don't know.
But I was so annoyed because there wasn't a single picture in there that was like a good shot of his face.
One, art is subjective. Two, people can't tell the difference between pretty good photography and great photography most of the time, unless it's of them or someone of they love and you really show them the difference. But like for whatever this is going to be used for, I'm sure it'll be perfectly fine. The thing is that this style, this lifestyle of portraiture, isn't even the best version of this style of portraiture. This is clearly someone who is has some talent, has an eye for composition, but someone who hasn't mastered the technical art of photography. So that's where I would sit with it. Is it now being that it's a 5D Mark IV? I'm pretty sure that this file is savable, but it looks very unaffected for the most part. And so, like, you could probably this hasn't been retouched, this hasn't been messed around with. It's just a pretty normal, natural portrait. So I think that's kind of cool. But you could go into the RAW file if it's even shot in RAW. And bring those highlights back and kind of even it out a little bit if you wanted to, you know, straighten the crop a little bit, whatever. But like, it is what it is. So like the woman photographed her mother-in-law, her stepmother-in-law,
stepmother.
Yeah. Photographed her stepmother-in-law. And because she's the Duchess of Cambridge, somebody gave it to her. Does it make me mad? No. Like photography is.
No.
Like, you know, good for her. Like whatever. Another rich white person gets something because they're rich because of their position. Shocked. Who's shocked?
Well, she has said though that she has knowledge of the of Photoshop, that she does know, she does work in Photoshop. She recently switched to a Fujifilm X-T3.
There you go.
She has switched to mirrorless.
See, there you have
the X-T3. She's trying to save a few bucks. She didn't need the 4 because she wanted to save a few dollars.
She was looking at the R5 and she's like, look, the X-T3 is like used. I can get this used for a grand. You know,
yeah.
Like,
Fuji just announced, by the way, they're discontinuing the X-T3 finally.
Yeah, well, you know, that's served its purpose. But see, there's the interesting thing about it. I actually think it's kind of by design because she was running around with the most expensive and latest camera gear. People, the English love to complain about the royals and all the money that the government spends on keeping right. them afloat. And so she would basically be using taxpayer dollars to go out and buy the most expensive gear. And so for her to have a camera that is more than a generation old that is being discontinued, but still a perfectly serviceable professional camera, that's exactly what, like, they'd be like, oh, well, that expensive. Actually, it was $1,000 and they don't even make them anymore. So, like, you right. can't really, like, that's pretty, right. it's a great camera that
She's pretty savvy.
I would say that she was probably told, these are the cameras that you can get, pick one of these. You know, because they don't do anything without direction and being told exactly what the appropriate thing to do is. It's all about, there's just millions and millions of people watching everything that they do. Somebody was like, here are the cameras you can get. Anyway, so moving on, let's get into some gear news because we have a lot to cover. A couple of quick hits for you Canon users out there. Canon Rumors has said, and this is a CR3 rumor, so this is pretty reliable. This means this is almost certainly going to happen. Canon is going to come out with a cinema version of the R7. And so the R7 just came out. It's currently on back order. I've actually ordered one and I'm waiting for my back ordered R7 to come in. You know, we're going to be doing a lot more video work moving forward, and it's a very capable video camera that's in a great price range because it does all the stuff. It doesn't have the record limits of other Canon cameras and other cameras that have 30-minute limits, doesn't have the overheating problems. And for video, it's a great choice. And so that's why I bought one, mostly for video stuff. However, for people who are even more serious about video, the R5 Cinema, the C version of the R5, has been a huge hit with YouTubers, content creators, commercial video people, because it has basically the firmware, the menu systems, and all of the stuff that the cinema cameras have when you switch it into video mode. And it's got a lot more options, and it's got built-in active cooling and a whole bunch of other cool stuff that are dedicated, make it a great dedicated video camera, still cheaper than some of the better cinema cameras. So the R7 is going to have a cinema version, which probably means a couple of things. It's probably not going to have IBIS. That's probably one of the things they're going to cut out. It will probably have a fan for active cooling added, so there are zero, although this has very few overheating issues now, it's probably going to have no overheating issues. And I imagine it will probably change one of the card slots to a CF Express rather than an SD card slot so that you can get higher res, more HQ video modes. Now, the other thing that people are really liking is that it actually gives you the menu with all of the options, all of the multitudes of options that the cinema cameras get. And it's probably to come in, my guess on price is, since the body only for the stills version is $1,500, I'm going to guess that this is going to be sub $2,500. So for a camera that's going to be as capable as the R7C is probably going to be, I think the R7C is going to be a huge hit. Obviously, the R7 already is, being that it's sold out and on back order everywhere across the board. Now, also, quick hit for Nikon users. I wanted to talk very briefly about this Nikon Z30. So this is going to be the first Z-mount Nikon camera that is a crop sensor that is made specifically for content creators. This has no viewfinder, no electronic viewfinder, and it's just the articulating screen. And it's really going to have, it shows, I think, that camera companies are really going to start more and more and more aiming away from professional pros and still shooters and at video shooters. Video is absolutely going to be, already is, the future of the internet. And so anyway, Nikon is making a beeline for them, and I don't think they've really spent a lot of time doing that. Fuji already has done and has been making creator specific cameras. Canon also is going to be making specific cameras in 2022 sometime. You will see an RF mount vlogging camera, since they've already broken the seal and put together APS-C sensor and an APS-C size camera mount. Then they're ready to go on that, and they're going to start, you're going to see Canon do exactly what Nikon is doing, which is making, now they already have creator specific cameras in the M mount, which is probably, this is a sign that the M mount is going to go away. I have no information on that, but my guess is once they start making these small RF mount APS-C cameras at these like creator cameras, I think M mount's going to be discontinued like real quick. And finally, the one thing I wanted to get to talk to you about, Bu-Ray, I think this is important that we discuss this. Our friends over at Profoto have come up with a new product.
And this, okay, before you do that, let me ask you this.
Yes.
From a marketing standpoint, Do you think that it would be smart for someone, Olympus, Fuji, whatever, to come out with a camera or a line of cameras that are actually branded for vloggers?
Vloggers.
Vloggers?
Like, okay, so give me
an
example.
Is it vloggers or vloggers?
I like to say vloggers, but it's vloggers, I think.
Okay.
Or you say vloggers, like there's a U in it.
Vloggers. My point being that more and more now we keep hearing that about the shift to video and it's all about the vloggers. And I'm like, is there somebody out there who's going, you know what? We need to create a line in our camera brand that is specifically for vloggers, because that's such a huge market out there now that new people will go, oh, well, that's the camera for me. And they'll,
well, what would they call it?
The vlogger camera.
Well, that's okay. Yes, that would probably make logical sense. But these things tend to be self-regulating, right? Because it gets around, like, this is the camera for you, and all the YouTube videos start coming out. You ask your friends, and so for example, the Rebel T6i, T7i just became, you know, pre-mirrorless. They were just the camera that so many YouTubers and vloggers and everything were using because it was affordable and had great features. But and that just they didn't have to call it the Canon vlogger. Will Rebel or whatever, and I think
you could market it right. If you market it as a video camera that also did stills, instead of the way they market it, which is,
I think that's exactly what they're doing with the new line, and you're going to see more and more and more of it. Sony has started that with its, you know, miniature, you know, vlogging cameras, Canon or Nikon and Canon. Everybody's moving this way because honestly, they're not going to be able to sell that many cameras to pros anymore.
Right?
You know, it's just going to be the way it is. Not only do they make cameras that are so good, like if you bought a brand new camera in 2022, you probably won't need to buy another camera for 8 or 9 years.
Right. Whereas it used to be, they could sell a lot of extra cameras to non-pros by selling them to people who wanted to take photographs of their kids. Now it's those cameras have become, you sell cameras to people who want to make videos for the internet.
Nobody's buying cameras to take pictures of their kids compared to what they used to be doing, because your phone is so great. And my wife's a perfect example. I bought her a camera so that she could take pictures of our kids, and it just sat gathering dust. I just gave it to my dad because my dad doesn't have a camera that he plays with anymore because he's a retired photographer. So I gave him my M50 because my wife wasn't using it because she just prefers her phone, you know, because it's just the ease of use. And so I think they've lost the moms with cameras crowd for the most part, you know, or at least a huge swath of it. And now, like, creators are the new moms with cameras as far as camera companies are concerned. It's a lifeline for them to be able to continue to exist, because pros alone cannot prop up the camera market, not with the aggressive amount of money and research and development and all the stuff that they have, the tech that they have to put into it. We're not even worth the effort as pros. We're not.
Right.
So they have to serve somebody who will buy all the stuff that they make so that they can continue the R&D to make cameras that we like. But the creators are it, man. And I think that's a pretty astute observation on your part.
All right. What were you going to say about Profoto?
Yes. So Profoto, you know, okay, here's the thing about Profoto. Profoto is a company that makes great gear. Anybody who uses Profoto will tell you that they love, nobody uses Profoto gear. Hardly anybody is like dissatisfied with it. They're great looking. They're well designed. They're easy to use. They have great resale value. They tend to be very high quality. They're also so stupid expensive.
All the cruise photographers use Profoto.
Yeah, because you can just beat them to death and they will give you the most consistent light output and color. And, you know, they're just incredible. They're workhorses, and they're just all the way around. Profoto is probably, maybe, if not the best, it's definitely top tier lighting company. And they're fairly, compared to companies like Ellen Chrome and Braun Color and other companies like that, they are probably of the top tier gear companies. They are the most innovative. Like, they are usually the first ones to innovate, to create wireless TTL systems, to create portable gear with internal batteries that's actually functional. So, like, they don't make the best lights in the world, but they make the best lights in the world while innovating. But they also are a premium product and have a premium price tag. And we've talked many times about how you can buy a premium product, and if it holds its value, like Profotos tend to do, even old Profotos sell for a good percentage of what you paid for them. There's a robust used market out there. So you can have a light like a Profoto for the same amount of time. Like, if you buy a Godox light that's equivalent power output and function to a Profoto light, and then you hold on to it for 8 years. You sell that Godox light, it's basically worth nothing. You might as well light it on fire because there are so many of them out there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that Godox isn't great. My whole studio is Godox, okay? So before anybody jumps on me. But Profoto, you can hold, and there are fewer of them out there, and they last a really long time, and the resale value, just like a BMW over a Honda, you know, Honda's a bad example. They actually have pretty great resale value, like over a Kia. You buy a BMW, right, is going to hold value better than a Kia. So Profoto, you can use a Profoto over the same amount of time, and selling it, taking resale value into account, very often recoup a lot of those expenses that you set out in the beginning compared to your Godox lights or other cheaper lights like Newer and Young Nuo and stuff like that. I am a fan of Profoto's gear. I do not spend my money buying Profoto gear because I'm running a business and it's just not the best fit for what I do. And I'm not going to lay out that type of money because, let me tell you this, Profoto this past week released the A2. The A2 is a roughly slightly larger than a can of soda. Stop me if this sounds familiar. With a 100 watt second power output. That has it's a round head, slightly larger than a can of soda, 100 watt second. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, like the little Godox lights. Yeah. You've got one or
like
two.
Like the AD100 Pro, right? Except I'm 100% certain that the Profoto version is better. There's no way that it's not. I'm sure that it is probably slightly better built. I'm sure it gets better battery life. I'm sure the color and power output is more consistent because of the higher quality interior, whatever.
How much was your 8100?
It was $299.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And how much is the Profoto?
$1,000.
Oh my God.
$1,000.
How much better can it be?
Well, I tell you, it depends because I use the 8100 every single day and I use it a lot. Now there is a problem with it. This is the first version of it, and it is a slightly green light compared to all my other Godox lights. So it's really irritating in a way that it's got a green color cast to it that you have to compensate for. So that's kind of a problem. That's one of the examples of sort of the Godox stuff being slightly inferior. Profoto would never put out a light that was just not the same color as its other lights, you know, and like it wouldn't. They wouldn't. So I'm sure that it's better, the Profoto version. But is it $1,000 better? Seriously, $600. I would pay $600 for it because you know what? 10 years ago, I spent $600 on a Canon 600 EXRT speed light because it had TTL.
And, so did I.
And that was pumping AA batteries into it. That was, you know, like, and I still paid $600 for it because it was so great. To pay $600 right now for something that is 1,000 times better than that. You know, I'd say shut up and take my money for $600. But for $1,000 when there is a $300 thing or a $400 thing, and, you know, I think that everybody who's a Profoto user that's a run and gun that's shooting, wedding and stuff, this is going to be a hit. This light's just going to be a huge hit. But like $1,000. I mean, they have the right to charge whatever they want, don't they? Don't you think they do?
Sure. Absolutely. But I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they stay alive. I guess the same way that, I mean, Rolls-Royce stays alive and Leica stays alive.
Yeah, I guess. You know? But I don't know. All I'm saying is that like Viacon Dios, I know they're going to be a good light. I know they're a hit. And if you haven't checked it out, Seth Miranda, who works for Adorama and has a great, his YouTube channel is Last X Witness in on Adorama TV. He did a whole video shooting with it. And apparently it's fantastic, but it's just for like $1,000. You know, when I could, there's a $300 version. And not to say that it's not better, but I think your average photographer out there is just going to go, yeah, just buy the Godox.
Okay, well, while we're on the same subject, final story. Godox has come out with a new flash. And when I first saw this flash, I was excited. I was like, oh, this looks really cool. It's called the Lux Junior.
Junior.
It is only $69.
And that's a great price.
And it is retro inspired to look like something from the 80s. It's cool looking. It's two-tone. It's got a giant dial on the back. No digital on this thing. It's a giant dial. It looks really cool. They want it to look retro. It's on-camera flash. That's great. And then I started looking at the specs. It's $69. And the reason is because, wait for it, it's fully manual. So not only is it retro inspired to look like a camera from back before the days of TTL, It is a camera flash from before the days of TTL. You have to dial in feet to the subject, the whole et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't even know how to do this.
No. It has an automatic mode.
I had to do it.
Yes, it does. Looking at the dials right now. It doesn't have TTL, but it does have an automatic mode.
If you go to auto mode, it just presets it. It presets it to F2.8 and 5 feet or something like that.
Yeah.
That's its auto mode. It's just a preset mode. The preset auto mode defaults to F2.8 at ISO 100.
I just want to know.
That's just a default.
Who is this
for?
But
it's still full manual. Doesn't work off camera. I mean, it will work off camera. It's an optical slave, so it'll work off camera. But again, still only in full manual mode.
Are there a bunch of zoomers out there looking for an on-camera flash?
Who are the people who want this flash? Who are the people like, ooh, I want that flash that's full manual when it's on the camera. I won't buy a flash that's full manual when it's off the camera.
Yeah. No.
I'm damn sure not going to buy one that's full manual when it's on the camera.
Yeah, well.
And I just love the way they try to sell it, though. The way they try to sell it is so funny. Where is it? Where's the thing I want to say? It's all about the pure enjoyment and excitement of taking every shot, they say. Let's keep things simple and go rogue. Forget about the rule or the standard. Just click the shutter and enjoy the moment. Yes, also, forget about having a properly exposed photograph. You forgot to put that line in there. Forget about the rules and the standard. Also, forget about having any light on your subject or having a subject that's too blown out. It's all going to happen because you're just walking around.
It's all about the joy and the freedom of having a completely unusable photograph.
Because let me tell you, I absolutely feel that I lose a lot of joy and freedom when the camera electronically figures out the proper exposure and gives it to me. I just feel robbed.
Oh, yeah.
Don't
I feel
you?
Like you know, in chains.
I'm like, you're taking it away from me because what I really enjoy is the thrill of taking a picture and going, oh, that's no good. Hang on. Let me just change this. Okay. All right, no, that's no good. Okay, hang on a second. Let me do it now. You know, that's the fun.
That's freedom,
Gary.
Yeah, baby.
That's the freedom.
That's the freedom. I can't.
That's rogue. We're going rogue, Gary.
You know what would piss off the establishment? Having none of our photos turn out properly. That would piss off
saying,
the establishment.
That's rogue. What's next? The next thing you know, it's going to be like $49 and it's just a road flare. Just light it off and go rogue. And just light your subject with a road flare.
Wait. For $89, you could have a camera with no parts inside it. And it's just, you don't even have the burden of having to actually take any photos. You could just pretend to take photos. Like, why not keep it simple? Just use
you know what that is, Gary? It's pure excitement and pure enjoyment.
It's just the adrenaline rush of actually not having to take any photos sounds great.
From the folks at Godox.
Godox. Because we think you're stupid.
that just amazes me they came out with this flash. If I'm wrong, someone please correct me. Go and talk about it in the Bombardier's Lounge because I can't find any reason why you would want this flash.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap things up. Photobomb is written and produced by Bure Perry and Gary Hughes. You can find us online. Join the group, facebook.com/groups/Bombardier's Lounge.
Bombardiers.
Our website is photobombpodcast.com. Gary's website is hughesfioretti.com.
So it is.
And my website is BureyPerry.com. You can email us questions@photobombpodcast.com. We'll see you back here next week.
See you later.